telling these tears gonna fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, so much to talk about, but I'd like to start with not politics today. Don't worry. Of course, we'll get to the vice presidential debate, and we got a packed show for you, as per usual. We have Sarah Spain from Emily's List. She's the director of strategic communications. She's going to join me at 2:30. Of course, Sarah and I are going to talk about the debate. You can get your two cents in. Get ready to call again at the bottom of the hour if you've got input, feedback on the debate. That's where we'll be talking about it again with Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List in the 2:30 block. At 3 o'clock, of course, as it is every day, that is when you're going to hear Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Today, we've got Ai-Jen Poo, who is a labor leader, an award-winning organizer, author, and leading voice in the women's movement. She is the current president of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. And then at 3:30, I'm really excited to be joined by Jason Stein, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're going to be talking about the fact that Wisconsin could save $1.7 billion for Badger Care Plus if it is expanded. We could save 1.7 if Badger Care Plus is expanded. I don't know why this isn't happening. Republicans seem to be getting in the way. And we are working right now really hard to get a very, very special guest to join us in not just honor of MLB playoffs, which, boy, that was a tough loss by the Brewers yesterday. But also because it is day two of the playoffs, and in honor of my dad's birthday. I think I mentioned earlier this week or late last week that my dad's birthday is October 1st. And so every year that the Brewers are fortunate enough to make the playoffs, this is the built-in birthday present, is to go to the Brewers game with my dad to get him some playoff tickets. And I'm so excited to be doing that again this year. Now, without giving away who our very special guest is that we are trying to get on the horn as we speak, I do want to just lay out a couple of teasers, and maybe you all can guess who this is, because I'm certain we're going to be able to get my very special guest on the horn before the end of this half hour. Something absolutely groundbreaking happened this year as it relates to Major League Baseball statistics. And that is that finally, in May of this year, Negro League statistics were included as part, on equal footing with, Major League Baseball statistics. Now, folks, you may, I don't know if I've talked about this, but my dad was a pitcher, never made it to the majors. So that's hint number two. So hint number one is this, again, groundbreaking change in how record keeping in the record books for Major League Baseball are kept. Again, in May of this year, Negro League statistics included. Hint number two is that my dad was a pitcher. So that might tip you off. Hint number three, my friends, is that, of course, the Brewers' biggest I-94 rival is the Chicago Cubs. So that is hint number three. And I will say this, hint number four as to who my special guest is. He has spent his life after baseball in public service, much like my father did. And so I am so excited to talk to our special guest today. But let's spend a couple of minutes as we try to get a hold of our very special guest, talking about really what this move to include the Negro League statistics within Major League Baseball meant. And let's be clear, folks, you know, this is recent American history, right? Jackie Robinson was the first Black player to play in the major leagues, and he joined the major leagues in 1947. And in 1948, the major leagues finally held their first integrated World Series. That was their last segregated World Series. By the 1949 World Series, it was finally fully integrated. That is, you know, not that long ago. And again, what happened to Negro League baseball players and then Black baseball players that joined the major leagues was nothing short of horrifying. It was nothing short of threats of everyday violence. And it made trying to play the game, the thing that they loved, extraordinarily difficult. If you can imagine playing the sport, the thing that you've trained your life to do, and traveling, and you can't stay in the hotel with your team. You can't eat with your team. You are assaulted with verbal, just the most debased language you can imagine, especially when they were playing teams in the South. This was an abomination for Major League Baseball. Of course, we didn't even get to the Civil Rights Act until 1964, but the legacy of this within Major League Baseball is long and it is complicated. And I just have to say this, it is shocking to me. Some of the responses from sports pundits in response to the Negro League statistics finally being included with Major League Baseball statistics. Now, this wasn't a short process. The Major League Baseball announced its intention to add the Negro League statistics in 2020. And it has taken these 4 years to get to this point. Back in 2020, MLB formed a 15-person committee to help determine how to incorporate these statistics because the leagues weren't exactly equivalent, right? So you have to figure out as both a matter of historical reference, you got to verify that. And then how do you make statistics, these statistics comparable? And again, in the past, one of the sort of, I would say, fig leaf objections that had been given about why Negro League statistics weren't including with MLB statistics is that we didn't have comprehensive enough data. But what has happened in I would say, the past 10 years is that researchers and scholars of the game have really gone into the old records and scorebooks and newspapers and microfiche to assemble what is a verified and comprehensive historical record of all of the Negro League records. And what has occurred is that, you know, some of these folks have surpassed previously held records in Major League Baseball. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of my most distinct pleasures and honor. If you haven't guessed who my very special guest is this afternoon, it is Mr. Dennis Bose Biddle, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues. Mr. Biddle, thanks so much for working with us to get you on the air here, sir. It is certainly a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome.
Thank you. By having me.
How you doing this afternoon, Mr. Biddle?
I'm doing fine. As I always say, I'm blessed by the best, and I do the rest.
I love that. I saw that. I was reading up about your storied career, sir, and I actually jotted a note down because I thought I'm going to put that one into the old memory banks. I'm blessed by the best and I will do the rest. I love that, Mr. Biddle. Can you tell folks how your baseball career began? Because it almost didn't happen. You were almost going to shove off to, I believe, Grambling State to play football on a scholarship.
That's right. Back in the 50s, early 50s, when I played, the Major League Scouts were not scouting black schools. This is a few years
2 minutes.
Ago, Jackie Robinson, and before they started doing it. And I was never scouted by a Major League Scout, even though I was a All-State baseball player. But I also was an All-State football player and All-State basketball player. And upon graduation, my graduation year, I had scholarship offers to play football, basketball, and baseball. No scholarship to play baseball, but I had basketball and football. So Mr. Eddie Robinson, who was the coach at Grambling College, called and invited me to come to the school, and I did, and everything looked great. I turned down the basketball scholarship, and I was getting ready to accept the football scholarship when I got a call from the Negro League asking me if I'd like to try out for the Chicago American Giants. And
we're going to find out what happened next. Mr. Biddle, we got to take a couple of important messages to hear how Mr. Biddle ended up playing in the Negro Leagues. You got to keep it locked here, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In honor of the Negro League baseball statistics inclusion with MLB and in honor of the playoffs and my dad's birthday, you're going to want to tune back in and keep it locked. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we're going to hear more from the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues, Mr. Dennis Biddle, when we return after these brief messages.
I'ma keep on running 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.